Each day when the sun rose high and the heat became oppressive, the entire army went into lager. The litters bearing the royal wives and treasure carts were usually placed in a separate encampment a short distance from the main army. At first, there was a great bustle as the animals were loosed from their harness, fed and watered, the sentries posted, and the tents of the wives erected. Then the fires were lit, and the midday meal was cooked and eaten, washed down with beer. After that, Heseret, Merikara, and their maids retired to their tents. The men who were not on sentry duty lay down under makeshift shelters to rest after the long night's journey. Gradually a languid silence fell over the huge muster of men and animals, and the camp slept. Nefer and Taita left the rest of their party lying in a patch of dense thorn bush up in the valley and crept to the camp. They were able to get within a few hundred paces of the sentries and lie there unobserved for an hour, whispering together, trying to find some manner of reaching the war chests without being discovered by the sentries.
"Is there no way we can distract them?"
Nefer asked. "For that we will need help from inside the camp," Taita said.
"Merikara?"
Nefer looked at him sharply.
"Merikara,"
Taita agreed.
"How can we get a message to her?"
Nefer looked puzzled, but Taita smiled, touched the periapt of Lostris that hung on his necklace, and closed his eyes. After a while, Nefer thought he'd fallen asleep. The old man knew exactly how to infuriate him. His age is catching up with him at last, he thought irritably, and was about to shake him awake when he heard voices from the camp and looked up. Merikara had come out of her tent. She had obviously been sleeping, for her face was flushed and marked by the pillow. She stretched and yawned. She wore only a blue linen skirt, whose pleats hung below her knees. Her upper body was bare. Despite himself, Nefer was astonished at the way her breasts had bloomed. They were pear-shaped, and the nipples stood proud and rosy. Merikara was arguing with the guard at the entrance to her tent, and her voice rose imperiously so that Nefer could hear every word.
"I cannot sleep, and I'm going out to walk a while."
The sentry was trying to restrain her, but she shook her head until her hair danced on her shoulders.
"No, I will not let you escort me. I want to be alone."
The sentry insisted, and she flared at him.
"Stand aside, you insolent creature, or I'll report your behaviour to my husband."
Reluctantly, the sentry acceded to her orders and grounded his spear. He called after her anxiously,
"Please, Your Majesty, be not too long, nor venture too far. It'll be more than my miserable life's worth should Pharaoh find out about this."
Merikara ignored him, ducked through the horse's lines, and came out through the gate of the thornbush fence that surrounded the camp. She looked back only once to make certain that she was not observed by any of the sentries. Then, as though to an assignation, she came directly to where Nefer and Taita lay among the desert scrub. Nefer saw that her green eyes were rapt, and that there was an intent expression on her lovely face, as though she were listening to music that she alone could hear. When she was close enough to touch, Nefer said softly,
"Merikara, don't be afraid. It's Nefer."
She started like an awakening sleepwalker and stared down at him. Then her face lit with an expression of untrammeled joy, and she sprang forward to embrace him.
"Wait," Nefer ordered. "Don't betray us to the guards."
He was proud of her, for she obeyed him and stopped instantly. She had always been an intelligent child. She glanced round quickly, and her voice trembled when she said softly,
"I was sound asleep, but suddenly I woke and knew that I had to come out into the desert. It was almost as though a voice in my head was calling me."
She looked at Taita.
"Was it your voice, Magus?"
Then her eyes went back to Nefer.
"Darling brother, you'll never know how I've missed you. First I thought you were dead, and I mourned in your funeral procession with ashes on my head. Look, here are the scars where I cut my arms to bleed for you."
"I'm alive, Merikara. Believe me, this is no shade you're looking at.
I know, Nefa. All the world knows how you took Mintaka away from Avaris into the desert. And I knew in my heart that you'd come for me also one day.
She smiled through happy tears.
I knew you would come.
Yes, said Nefa. We will take you away with us. But first there's something you must do to help us.
Anything for you and Taita,
she agreed readily. Speaking swiftly and urgently, Taita told her what she had to do, and then made her repeat it. She did so faultlessly. You're a clever girl, my little one, Taita said. That is exactly what we want you to do. He handed her a small packet. Here is the powder. Remember, just enough to cover your fingernail in each jar.
First you call me clever, and then you treat me as though I were stupid, she snapped.
Forgive me, Your Majesty. Taita made a gesture of penitence.
Don't call me that either. I hate being married to that slimy serpent. And now I know what he's going to do to me, I hate it even more.
You're not going to be easy to please, Marikara. Now go back to the camp before the guards come looking for you. She stooped quickly and kissed Nefer on the lips.
Until tomorrow, then, my beloved brother.